Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Only at True North stores. New True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Folks, we're joined by State Representative Matt Willard. District 97, New Orleans Fairgrounds race course, is actually in his district. So he obviously, this issue is top of mind for him. Matt, welcome to the show.
Hey, good morning, Newell. Thanks for having me on.
So, Matt, where do we find ourselves right now? If you kind of could lay the landscape here of how this got to where it is.
Well, first of all, I want to say I haven't heard from anybody related to Churchill Downs, but essentially what happened is the Supreme Court ruled that a form of gaming that was occurring at the fairgrounds was illegal and violated state laws. So the fairgrounds had to cease operations for what's referred to as historical horse racing. After that occurred, Churchill Downs was apparently trying to get with legislative leadership for the state to hop in and offset the revenue loss. And my understanding is they were requesting $20 to $25 million in recurring revenue for the next several years. And they said that if they could not get that, that they would cease racetrack operations, which we have heard about in the media over the last week or so. So to me, it was really a threat. It was a bully move, basically saying if the state doesn't offset this revenue loss, then we'll close the racetrack down ahead of the upcoming racing season.
Now, my understanding and my research revealed that we are not the first state that has taken a similar position relative to this historical horse racing, that they have failed on that initiative in other states as well, right?
Yeah. I want to say maybe one of the Carolinas it occurred in. So this isn't, you know, the first state that has made such a ruling and essentially prohibited the use of this historical horse racing.
So let's talk about this kind of direct line appropriation, I guess, to Churchill Downs or you know, these other sporting events. If it's, you know, you've been around a long time. If it's $20 million this year, it could be $25, $30 next year. And before you know it, you're approaching $100 million. Doesn't this require a robust conversation about, you know, the financing and the funding of horse racing in this state? I can't imagine it's too terribly different from any other state. You know, that the industry as a whole is down and, you know, that it's going to have challenges. I can't imagine that there's a huge appetite in the legislature to go giving this private enterprise $20 million.
Well, not only that, Newell, but I think you're familiar enough with the legislature to understand that we're not going to respond well to a threat. Top of that, you know, if an entity came to the legislature and said, we really need, you know, some one-time funding because of, you know, something happened and we really need this one-time funding to remain operational, that's a different story as opposed to an entity coming to us and saying, hey, we need $20 million, $25 million recurring for the next few years, that is much harder for us to do. One-time money, one-time funding is a lot easier for the legislature to appropriate as opposed to recurring revenue. And then when you add a threat, essentially trying to force the legislature's hand, nobody is going to respond well to that. So I really think that Churchill Downs came into this negotiation just ruffling feathers off the jump, like as soon as the conversation started to happen. And that's not how you want to proceed. We all recognize that not only is the fairgrounds instrumental to the city of New Orleans and the state of Louisiana, but so is horse racing. And when you threaten to shut down something that is part of the fabric of our culture and say, hey, but if you give us this money, we'll be okay, that's just not a good move. And it really offended a lot of us up in Baton Rouge.
But Matt, isn't it a bigger issue? I mean, if we didn't have gaming in this state, could horse racing survive?
No, I don't think so. I really don't think so. And, you know, I don't know how much the budget would survive if we didn't have gaming in the state, you know. But listen, you have every year we have bills dealing with horse racing and breeding in the state of Louisiana. It's huge for us here in the state of Louisiana, which is why, you know, I do think there would have been an appetite to help Churchill Downs, but not the way they came about it. And the ask to me is somewhat unreasonable for asking for this much money, recurring money, year after year. That's hard for us to do. And then it was last minute. You know, they were making comparisons about other gaming bills that were moving through the legislature. And I guess apparently they wanted to be included or to expand the number of slot machines or video poker machines that they have at the racetrack. And it was all sudden, you know, and just the bully move. I think that's the best way to describe it, Newell. The bully move that they embarked upon just didn't sit well with any of us. And it prompted a change to some legislation yesterday that designated the fairgrounds as a historic site in the state of Louisiana and says that before the fairgrounds can move its zoning, its use away from racetrack horse racing, that they have to get approval from the legislature because we're that concerned about it.
Was there any sense that you got in talking and visiting with your peers that there was concern that there was one type of gaming, you know, this historical horse racing gaming, that is kind of the linchpin of the industry, so much so that they're willing to give up their license and just call it a day? I mean, that would be very disconcerting to me that this is, you know, such a linchpin issue that they're really willing to risk it all.
Well, again, it really came up last minute, so there wasn't much talk about that. And, no, I got to say, you know, I haven't had a chance to review Churchill Downs' P&Ls, but, you know, I'm really curious as to knowing if this form of gaming goes away, are they still profitable out of the fairgrounds? Like, that's something that I want to know. You know, so it was all last minute. That was not really part of the discussion that I was having in Baton Rouge. The real discussion was, how do we preserve the fairgrounds as a historic site and make sure that horse racing can continue there? Because, you know, part of the threat, I guess, was that they would sell it or look to change the zoning and reform the fairgrounds into some other type of development, which, you know, I certainly don't want for the city of New Orleans and for the state of Louisiana.
There's been a number of concessions made to not only this group, but to horse racing in general, right? Especially as it relates to the gaming side of this. I guess maybe there might be a lesson learned here. I'm at that maybe these protections that we're having to do at the last minute, because on a whim, they decide that they may want to do something else, that we should better protect ourselves by giving up and making concessions on the front end so that we're not faced with this bully move, maybe leveraging, exploiting you know, this situation to, for their benefit.
Yeah, absolutely. I would agree with that 100%, Newell. And everybody needs to understand that the legislature does support the fairgrounds in Churchill Downs. They've received money from the legislature over the years. And, you know, coming into this, you know, if this was really a significant problem to where they have to ponder whether they need to cease operations and they wanted to have conversations as adults, this is just not the way to enter the room. Coming out, frankly, just stating, well, we're going to, you know, shut down the racetrack ahead of the racing season unless you give us all of this money, recurring money, that's just not the way to do it. So I think if there's a lesson learned here, it's negotiate like an adult with respect.
Right. Yeah, no doubt. I mean, it's really a shame. There's a lot of history there. You hate to see it go. But, I kind of look at things a little bit more pragmatically than most at what cost, right?
Right.
And, you know, and what evidence are they providing that this is absolutely necessary? And I think most people would say little to none, which is not unusual. So,
yeah,
you know, it really places you and others in a predicament.
Yeah, and that's certainly part of the problem, Newell. I mean, not only did it come about last minute as we were heading into the last week of session, but I still haven't seen the evidence. In fact, somebody sent me some information before I joined on the interview related to Churchill Downs, and it showed that they were profitable this first quarter of this year. They were very profitable last year as well. Now, I don't know how the fairgrounds facility factors into that. But, yeah, I mean, if you're going to say the sky is falling, you need to give us information actually showing that the sky is falling, right?
Yeah, because your appreciation of the sky falling and mine may be light years
totally
apart from one
another.
Totally
different, Newell.
Right?
Totally different.
Well, we appreciate y'all's effort up there for sure. It's going to be interesting to see where this plays out. We're going to have Brian Krantz coming on in the back half of this hour, who's a former owner of the fairgrounds and knows the industry well. I've known Brian for a long, long time. And we'll see what his thoughts are about this as well. Matt Willard, Louisiana State Representative, District 97, thank you so much for joining us, and have a great Father's Day.
Thanks so much for having me.
Thank you, sir. We'll be right back. 504-260-1870 on the Oakland Heart Jewelers Talk and Text Line. Stay with us.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Welcome back, folks. We're talking about the situation with Churchill Downs and whether or not there will be an attempt to close down the fairgrounds. The legislature is taking some preventive action, as well as the New Orleans City Council. We are joined by Brian Krantz, an owner of horses and breeder and the former owner of the fairgrounds. Brian, good to hear your voice. Welcome to the show.
Hey, Newell. How we doing, buddy?
Doing fine. I'm sure that you've been watching this unfold. Your thoughts?
Yeah. I think there's a resolution that's there. I just think it took, it took a paradigm of some sort, and I think we're there. I'm hearing that there's a possibility that there's maybe a solution in the offing, and we'll just have to wait and see what the smoke signals are.
Brian, when you they decide to take the track of going directly to the state legislature and asking for money directly from the state to make up a sum of money, $20 million, $30 million, I'm not sure exactly what it is. Is that the future of this industry? I mean, is it that they can't make it on their own? It's going to require other forms of gaming and other concessions made by government in order to survive?
Well, I think historically racing has tried to meet the challenge of the additional gaming or gambling that's come into the market in Louisiana in particular by offering other alternatives that started initially with tax reductions back in the early 1970s and then later off-track betting and then as casino gaming and the lottery and riverboat gaming came into Louisiana, racing became part of the video poker legislation to try to help compete with those other forms of gaming. And then later slots at the racetrack when the casinos became more mature. So there's been an evolution in that way. As far as direct subsidy, I think what Churchill was looking at is, Illinois, Florida, New Jersey, are examples where direct subsidies were given of some sort. I think I'd rather see the industry be able to compete with the other forms of leisure, dollar attraction, other forms of gambling, by doing something that they can create their own revenue. And I think that's kind of probably the way it's going to end up here in the short term.
Do you necessarily believe that historical horse racing gaming is such a linchpin at this point in time for the profitability of this track?
Well, yeah. Let me explain why. It's a game that instead of using a random number generator to get an outcome like a slot machine, they're using a database of old races that were run. So that's the legitimacy that they hang their hat on in Kentucky and Arkansas, and I'm not sure if there are any other states that are using this now. But it becomes an efficient tool to compete, in the areas where you have casino games or in our example in Louisiana, truck stops and the bars. So it's an opportunity for the industry to compete. I don't think the Louisiana legislature outlawed HHR games. My understanding is that what they did was the same thing that happened to us back in when Mike Foster was elected governor, and all of the forms of gaming were put to a referendum in each individual parish. And then any new forms of gaming, it was put into the Constitution where those new forms of gaming would have to go before the same type of referendum process that we went through back then. And that was actually what delayed us in returning from the fire from 1993. It took us to 1997 because we had to wait on those referendums to take place and see what our revenue stream would be.
Yeah, and I think that's what the Louisiana Supreme Court ruled, that this was a new form of gaming, one it would require the public to vote on, and that's the predicament that they found themselves in. I don't understand. So as it relates to this historical horse racing, I guess what it is that you have people that bet on horses, only horses, and this gives them an opportunity to bet in that realm. When there are no races live that are going on, and this is kind of a historical thing that there's information that they don't know where this race was from or this, that, or otherwise. And I guess there's a sheet that they get to look at, an odd sheet, you know, that they're looking at, and they're betting in the same fashion?
No, sir. This is just, it's a box, looks like a slot machine box. And the outcome's based on that database of races. If you want to, the original gyration was you could actually watch the race, you know, finish or whatever to see how your outcome was determined. But I'm not even sure what the newest gyration is. And it's a linked game. They have progressives. They have bigger jackpots than, say, a video poker game. But, you know, again, I think that, you know, to support the agricultural industry in Louisiana that produces horses, you know, to race at the racetracks that supply those jobs, caring for those horses, feeding those horses away from the track and at the racetrack, that this is a necessity for the industry.
Yeah. How many do you know? I mean, I know you used to have your finger on the pulse of the industry in a big, big way, and have there been track closures over the last 5 years?
You know, there have been a number of track closures. I think nationally, you know, Churchill Downs was associated with several of those closures, with Calder and Arlington Park in Chicago, Calder's in Miami, Hollywood Park before that in Los Angeles. You know, but there were economic pressures there in terms of real estate value that outweighed the possibilities for the racetracks in those areas. You know, there are other tracks. I would look at, you know, Maryland and New Jersey, where basically the horsemen now have taken over the racetracks there and kind of, you know, like to make them nonprofit type situations. And really the tracks that prosper the best, like Keeneland in Lexington, Kentucky, and Delmar in Southern California, those are nonprofits. And so, that, you know, they're not looking for shareholders' return. They're not looking for, you know, maybe a senior executive whose salary's bonus is based on profitability and stock value. So, that, you know, they're not running quite the same ship that, say, Churchill is.
Do you think that at some point we may have reached that crossroads here where that decision might be,
you know,
necessitated?
The industry is still fairly robust in Louisiana. And as far as breeding industry and the people involved in racing, I think it's a part of the culture of the state and the city of New Orleans that's important. And, you know, I think there's enough support there going forward to keep it viable. I think that there are some things that need to be done in terms of we need an additional number of horses bred in Louisiana, you know, to help support the racing at the tracks. But also I think the tracks need to look at the amount of racing days that are run now so that they don't conflict any longer. and it makes it a more efficient system than it is at the current time.
Yeah. I get a lot of texts when we started talking about this issue saying that Churchill Downs kind of treats the fairgrounds as a redheaded stepchild. I mean, that's not something out of the ordinary when you have a multi-facility owner that, you know, obviously there's always the favored son. You know, that's just the way it works, right? Your assessment of the fairgrounds.
Yeah, you know, I think probably the greatest, you know, I guess, downfall that they've had in their 20-year tenure now is that they haven't been very good with the relations in the community and in racing with the different entities in racing. Part of that is just what you're saying. They're the out-of-state company. There's no real face of the franchise. You know, in the past when we would sit at the table with the horsemen or the racing commissioner, whoever it was, you know, we had the ability to make a decision. We were local folks, you know, like you said, we were involved in the industry breeding horses and racing horses. And so we had real, you know, a stake in the game in many ways. And I think with Churchill, it's just hasn't gone well for them in terms of their relationship in the community.
Yeah. And so you think that there will be a resolution with Churchill here in the coming days?
You know, I think we're at that point. You know, smoke signals seem to indicate that there were some conversations that may bear some fruit. So we'll just have to see where it goes.
Absolutely. Well, Brian, I know that you grew up in the industry. I think you were born into the into the industry, if my memory serves me correct, right? So go ahead.
You and I have a little history. Newell and I have known each other since we were both young pups when he was working for the sheriff's department at Jefferson Downs. So,
absolutely.
I had a long history. My mother got started at the old Jefferson Downs, which was Lafreniere Park, back in the 1950s, the late 1950s, before it was destroyed by Hurricane Betsy in 65. So, you know, I've seen a lot of the evolution, the growth, and now the, you know, the decline, so to speak, of the industry. And I am still an interested participant, you know, in the industry to a great degree.
Your mother and I used to laugh because I'd tease her about her security people running me off of the old Jefferson Downs because I used to ride my mini bike back there. And that's how far back our first connection goes back that far, and then all the years that I spent out at Jefferson Downs as well. Brian, thank you so much for joining us. I hope you guys are doing well. Have a great Father's Day weekend, and thank you for providing you know, some of the backfill of this issue and the importance of horse racing in the state of Louisiana.
All right, good talking to you.
Same here. Brian Krantz, owner, breeder, former owner of the fairgrounds, will be...
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Wherever summer takes you, save on your journey with True North convenience stores and Red Bull. Enjoy the new Red Bull Summer Edition, White Peach, a perfect balance of bold, sweet, and refreshing. Right now, grab any 3 8-ounce Red Bull for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon, just in time for your next road trip. Save big all summer long with the True Rewards mobile app, available in your favorite app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Welcome back, folks. Let's go to the talk lines. David in Mandeville, you're up. Welcome to the show. David, you there?
Yeah, hi. Hello?
Yes, go ahead, hello. David.
Hey, New, how you doing, sir?
Doing well.
Hey, I got a comment on that. You know, they said Gail Benson showed interest in maybe buying the track. Why don't she just go ahead and buy it? And if the state has to pull a license for the video poker, I love video poker, but let me tell you what. If they have to deal away with that, deal away with it or keep the fairgrounds. I mean, there's too much in New Orleans that's going away that I came up with that people are letting just slide and say, well, it's not doing the good. I mean, you have the horses there when they race, and people go and watch them. And then you got Jazz Fest that's out there every year. It's got to be bringing money and revenue. I mean, what's the problem? I mean, they can't sit down and work together and get something straight?
Yeah, you know? I don't know. I mean, this type of gaming, this historical horse racing game, I think the payouts are bigger than traditional video poker. I'm sure the video poker folks were involved in this and trying to protect their side of the industry. The racetracks trying to protect their side of the industry. This is a battle that you see that's fought frequently in the state legislature. At some point in time, I think there is going to have to be an overall scheme that's set that's going to make sense for everyone if we want the entire industry to be able to continue to be successful and stay in place and generate tax income for the state of Louisiana. I, for one, think that sometimes we go a little bit half-cocked crazy taxing a lot of these activities to the point where they can't survive, and that's why we find ourselves in these predicaments. This particular predicament wasn't caused by that, but this was just an understanding or lack of understanding that this was a new form of gaming, and the Supreme Court ruled that it required a referendum to be had, whether or not the public wants to see this type of gaming. And, you know, that going to create a short period of time where the track's going to lose that amount of revenue. I tend to like to look at things at a more macro level as to what is the future of this industry. I mean, how many more times are we going to be coming back looking for tweaks here, tweaks there? Can they survive? What are we seeing around the country? We heard today with Brian Krantz that some of the tracks are now not-for-profit organizations. They're not having to succumb to the pressure of shareholders and things of that nature nearly as much. Gives them a little bit more latitude. They might be a little bit more nimble as a result of that organizational structure. Maybe that's where we need to move. I don't know. But I do know that there's a lot of pressure because folks are tired of providing sustenance for sporting activities, and they're looking at what they're having to pay for, what write-offs they have or they don't have, and how they can shield more of their income and pay less taxes, and they're getting frustrated. And I just think they put a lot of pressure on the state legislature, and the legislature, rightfully so, has to listen to their constituents and try to figure this out about where they're going to be. And I think that's why they set a direct, kind of line item appropriation to horse racing in the tune of $20 or $30 million to make up for this loss while they try to figure out whether or not they're going to be able to save historical horse racing machines. There wasn't going to be much of an appetite for that. There were a lot of cuts that came out of this legislative session that people just aren't willing, to sit back and say, hey, this is okay. And I think we'll see more and more of that. All right, we got to get to a break. We will be right back, folks. Stay with us. Folks, we just got a weather alert, flash flood warning for St. Bernard and Orleans parishes until 3:12 p.m. This afternoon. There's a line of showers headed this way, and obviously this warning has gone out until 3:12 this afternoon in St. Bernard and Orleans Parish, a flash flood warning. Let's go to Frank in Metairie. Frank, you're up. What say you?
How you doing, Newell?
Doing fine.
First of all, let me start up by wishing you a happy Father's Day. And
same
tell
you
that I'm a regular listener, and I enjoy your program. I have a question, though. It's been bugging me and bugging me. How is it that the mayor of New Orleans can still take all these trips after the city council said she couldn't? Can you help this poor, stupid, public school-educated person understand that?
Well, it is a little complicated as it relates to the separation of powers between the executive branch and the legislative branch. There's been an attempt to try and restrict the spend by the mayor. It turns out that one of the trips that she recently took was actually funded by an organization. So there may not have been any costs to the city. The old adage, there's more than one way to skin a cat. I think that's exactly what's happening here, is the mayor is not going to be shut down by the council. I think she is going to get as innovative and exotic and as creative as possible to continue the travel until the end of her term.
We just got to put up with this until next January.
Yeah, I mean, look, if she was going somewhere and bringing home the bacon and it was going to be something meaningful to the city, I don't disagree with some of the opinion writers that have said, then it would be worth it. But historically, she's brought nothing back to the city, right? I mean, we're going to these climate conferences. What has changed here? I mean, what is it that she's going to implement in the waning days of her administration that's going to be of any meaningful consequence? Well, the obvious answer to that is nothing. She has little or no support on the city council. She's got little or no support. She's got some of the lowest numbers she's ever had amongst her constituents. There ain't a whole lot that she can do. So I understand why you're confused and frustrated. I'm mystified as well. It just doesn't seem, be the appropriate thing to do, but I don't think she cares, quite frankly.
And I agree with you, and believe me, it feels like I'm going to do what I got to do. I'm going to rub your nose in it until I leave, and there's nothing you can do about it but deal with it. And it just sends me up a wall.
Yep. I just wish that she'd stay in the office, have some meetings, meet with their folks, get some things done, fill some potholes, get the garbage situation straightened out. Maybe we can get two pickups a day. That would be an accomplishment, right? I just come back from the cleanest country I ever visited in my lifetime, Croatia. They have old walled cities with even more challenges than we do in the French Quarter, and they seem to be able to work it out. And they have more people in that small walled cities than we have in the French Quarter that are moving through there each and every day. They seem to work it out. I mean, it's amazing to me, you know, and... But we don't seem to be able to figure it out. And then when we do figure it out, we want to undo it and take a risk on someone else. Doesn't make much sense to me. I mean, I don't, and it's all about politics. It's all about posturing. And instead of it just being about the right thing to do, the right people at the right time to get the job done.
I'm glad you're back, and I'm enjoy your show. Thanks a lot.
Thank you so much, Frank. Got a couple of texts about a previous conversation that I had about this situation with Senator Padilla. You know, that I mischaracterized what Padilla did. Really. He went into a place where he was not invited. Right? When you have press conferences, there are folks that are invited to the press conference, so forth and so on. Unannounced. It wasn't until the cops went hands-on with him that he throws out a name. I'm Senator Alex Padilla from California. Well, how do any of these guys or ladies know that's who he is? They probably don't. I mean, as much as I covered these national news and California, in fact, some people say I cover these other states too much, but these are trends that are moving our way. That's why I do so. I didn't recognize him to be Alex Padilla when I'm looking at the video and he's coming in. And I suspect that none of those officers did either. And the way that this goes down, if that's who you are, then we got to get to a place where you actually prove who you are. We don't just take you at your word that that's who you are. Why? Because there's a pin that's been given to the senators that everyone recognizes, and that's kind of their security message to folks that I am who I say I am. He didn't have the pin on. He knows that. He knows that very well. That wasn't the script that he wanted. And for those to defend this guy and think that this is exactly, you know, that he was all altruistic in what he was doing here, that's not the case. This was political theater, and there's not anyone that's going to convince me otherwise. And there wasn't anything that he was going to bring to the forefront to the table at that point in time that was going to be meaningful, helpful, or otherwise. Let's just call it for what it is. These folks are all getting a little crazy. My suggestion is take a deep breath. Think about this before you want to start putting stupid plans like this in action. We'll be right back, folks. Stay with us.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses like Rise Bakery connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Only at True North stores. New True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.